What podcast should I listen to next?
Welcome to What Podcast Should I Listen To Next? I'm Mark.
And I'm Steve.
Hey Mark, so how's it going?
Yeah, good thanks Steve,
What have you been doing?
Well, I've been panicking a bit really, Steve.
Oh, is it anxiety?
Yeah, it's anxiety. Tuesday evening, we uploaded our last podcast, Gossip Mongers.
Good one.
Went to bed, got up.
Popular,
and
was it?
We had an awful lot more downloads than I was expecting.
Oh, great. That sounds good.
So thought, oh no, this isn't right. This is good, but something's not quite right. So I immediately rang you, suspicious of what may have happened. And do you want to maybe fill listeners in as to what happened, Steve?
Well, it could be that word just got out about our podcast, or it might have been something to do with perhaps a slightly misguided move in which I tweeted our link to our show to the Gossip Mongers themselves.
This is the show that I think I gave it 2 out of 10. You gave it 1 out of 10.
Yeah. I thought they might want to listen to that. And they did listen.
That was the strangest part.
It was a bit weird. And they sort of retweeted it. And there was a lot of engagement on Twitter about this.
We've never felt so popular, right?
Well, they've got a loyal fan base. They really do. And some of them are pretty funny, actually.
Let's hear that.
Yeah, well, Paul at 23 Kiln, he said he'd listened to a review shows that review podcasts, and it said ours was shit.
that's fair enough.
Yeah.
we'll take that, Paul.
No, that's, you know, we'll work on it. Yeah, it's been going on for a bit. The notifications on my Twitter our Twitter have gone up quite a lot.
Yeah, I guess what surprised me the most was the Gossip Mongers official, the Twitter page.
Twitter feed.
Yeah. Actually had a picture of us on it calling us pricks.
Look, you're concentrating on the wrong bit there, Mark. They had a picture of us on it, so that's good. But they did take it down, and so we were only briefly pricks. We're all right again. It's fine.
Our idea is that, you know, we want to, as courtesy, tweet the podcast that we're actually reviewing, give them a heads up. But in this case, that maybe wasn't the best move.
No, you're probably right. And I think they're entitled to feel a little disgruntled at our review, just because we didn't like it. Obviously, lots of people do. But anyway.
It's been a funny few days.
It has. It's a new experience. It's good.
Yeah, it's cool. No offense meant, guys. And
Back to normal. I think
thanks
probably
for feedback.
Unlikely that we're going to offend too many Vikings, so we should be safe enough.
Yeah. All right. Last week we rolled History Extra podcast. We chose the episode Everything You Want to Know About the Vikings But Were Afraid to Ask.
Yep.
So Steve, how did you feel about this one before you listened to it?
Well, rolled it at History podcast. I thought good. I like history. I thought good, and then I thought bad, because history, while I enjoy listening to it, it could be difficult to talk about. The laughs may be a bit thin on the ground on this one, but we just have to...
It's not quite Gossip Mongers, is it?
No. Probably less stories about Alsatians, etc. in this one. But, you know, maybe the Vikings had a humorous side to them. We'll find out, I guess.
Certainly for me, I've enjoyed other history podcasts, especially Dan Carlin's Hardcore History. I don't know if you've listened to it.
Is that a history of adult film?
Thankfully, we weren't reviewing that podcast, because each episode is about 4 or 5 hours long. So that would have been far too much work for me. We need about a month between episodes to actually review that one.
Yeah.
There is a back catalogue there of Dan Carlin's Hardcore History. And if you do like history, listen to that. You will love it. It's a really good show.
I am also pretty keen on history, as you know. And I've got a fair few history podcasts that I listen to pretty regularly. I haven't listened to Hardcore History. History podcasts that I like, I listen to quite regularly, are another Dan Snow's History Hit.
Okay.
Covers a lot of vast array of topics, gets lots of really good authors and historians in, and he's a very good host. He's very enthusiastic, brings it to life, and intelligently interrogates people about their particular topic, which is a very good show.
But I think that's the thing, isn't it though, Steve, when it comes to history podcasts or history radio shows, or even like popular history books, you realistically want a pretty light covering of the topic, because history, like any other kind of academic topic, can become very deep and very dry very quickly.
So yeah.
You really want the broad brushstrokes.
Yeah. Another one I've got in my library is In Our Time. I think we've talked about that before. Yeah, another BBC one, Melvin Bragg. And another one that I actually listen to quite regularly is You're Dead to Me. Have you heard of that?
No.
No, it's this guy, Greg Jenner, who's the historian from Horrible Histories, you know, the TV show.
Oh, the kids show, book. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So he does a history podcast and gets a couple of people on, and it's a more lighthearted look at history, not aimed at children, which is what he's known for, but just a lighthearted look at history. It's quite good, you know, depending
cool.
on the topic.
Well, I would like to listen to that, yeah.
So I did think, good, I enjoy history. There's a lot of history out there.
Yeah, and actually, Steve, I think it was only maybe a week or two ago we were talking about a book that we've both read called The Sceptred Isle.
Yeah.
A history of the British Isles from 55 BC to 1900. And this was based on a BBC radio series. So I think it shows that history actually works on the radio and now in podcasts. It's been around for a while. And
history has.
Yeah, well, I think history is fine. Very good. Thank you, Steve. But history as a radio show or on podcasts really works. There's definitely an audience for it, and it's pretty popular.
Yeah.
One thing we talked about as well is the problem with history shows or books or podcasts. They're so full of information. After about 5 minutes that the show has ended, all the information you've gained is gone.
I remember reading that book and thinking, this is fascinating, fascinating stuff. I'm glad I've read this. And then thinking, oh, what did I just read about? Yeah. And another thing I did once, I thought, right, okay, I clearly can't remember anything. I'm terrible at remembering stuff. Right, what I would like to remember is I'd like to remember at least the sequence that things happened in. And I bought this little book, Kings and Queens of England, like a little tiny little notebook. And it just had about a page on each one. I thought, well, if I read that, this will stick in my mind. No idea. I barely know if Henry IV came before or after Henry III.
This podcast, it's a Q&A session hosted by someone called David Musgrove. And the expert on the Vikings is Judith Jesh. Judith Jesh.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. You're quite into names. Oh, actually, now that you're talking about names, you know, we were talking about nominative determinism last week. One of our listeners has come up with a good one. Somebody who was giving birth to, well, I don't know, a child.
Well, okay.
Yes,
okay.
Definitely
we'll,
giving birth to a child.
Give me a chance to guess it, okay?
Right. So the midwife was called Nicola.
Nah.
Nicola Babes.
Babes. Okay, well, Babes. Yeah, it's all right.
Midwife.
Yeah, it's all right. I was looking for the Nicola bit.
No, no, I was just giving you Nicola, like...
Okay. Birth of Babes would be better.
That's good. Yeah, that would have been better. I like that. Yeah, okay.
So anyway, Judith Jesh, based in the University of Nottingham. Mm-hmm. The idea is that the questions were sent in by listeners.
Yeah.
And when the listeners didn't send in good enough questions, they went to Google and looked for the Google questions.
Yes, yeah. Which is fair enough. I tell you what, one of my favourite bits in the whole podcast is near the start, where David Musgrove talks about the diaspora. Do you know why I liked it? It's because I've never known how to say that word. I've always just seen it written down and wondered how should I pronounce that.
But you know, I hear it all the time with the Irish diaspora. But
no one taught. I mean, I've only seen it written down. I've never heard anyone say it. I know this is admitting to a terrible gap in my knowledge, but this also reminds me of another thing. Years and years ago, I remember talking to you in a pub.
Oh, okay. About,
well, I'd been reading a lot about Bob Dylan. I think I'd read a book. Yeah, I'd read a biography of Bob Dylan.
Bob Dylan?
yes, Bob Dylan. Is that how you say it? Bob Dylan. And he was heavily influenced by sort of the Beat Generation poets, Allen Ginsberg, and I remember saying to you, and Jack Kerouac.
Jack Kerouac, yeah.
But I remember talking to you about it and you saying, it's Jack Kerouac, and I felt like about an inch tall. I was like, oh, this is so humiliating.
Well, Steve, I wouldn't have made you feel like that. I wouldn't have rubbed that sort of thing in.
But do you know what? Coincidentally, I was just sort of looking him up a little bit, and his most famous book, On the Road.
Yes, yes, On the Road, yeah.
Was published by Viking Press.
Oh,
well,
my
God.
Yeah. Very good, very good.
Anyway, on with the podcast.
Yeah, so look, we start with the basics. about who the Vikings were and where they came from, which certainly makes the show feel quite inclusive. You know, you don't need to have any previous knowledge to listen to this.
Yeah.
We learn that the Viking period was from around 800 to 1100 AD. They came from Scandinavia and spread as far as from Newfoundland in North America to Baghdad in the Middle East. And as they raided, settled, or traded, their communities would definitely have included non-Scandinavians. So it's not just people from Scandinavia that you'd necessarily call Vikings. It's the people that they picked up along the way.
She mentions that Viking initially was a word that was essentially a verb, and it referred to what we would think of as Viking-like activities.
Yeah.
Which would presumably be, as you say, raiding. Well, generally, raping and pillaging. And then it became a description of the people.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was interesting.
It is interesting. Another thing I found was interesting, and I think I knew this, that Iceland was settled by the Vikings.
Yeah.
And that they were the first people there. So I found that interesting. The distance they travelled in, you know, 800, 900 AD by boat was phenomenal, really.
Yeah.
You know.
And then there's a series of questions, some better than others. An interesting one's the role of women in Viking culture.
Yep.
And as expected, Vikings, fairly patriarchal society, but women had a bit more of a say, I think, and a bit more of a role than they did in some cultures of the time.
Yeah, I think that's a very modern question to ask, isn't it? And and I think that Judith Jesch was actually very good, because when it came to how open the Viking society was, or how progressive it was, she said, well, look, you know, women might have been better off in the Viking society than some other societies, but generally it's patriarchal and they weren't so progressive that they didn't have slaves.
Yeah, she does talk about them being progressive, as in, you know, inventing new things, and in that way they were progressive. It was some form of democratic activity within Viking culture. But yeah, there's a bit of a fly in the ointment in that they had slaves. But she does mention quite often there are accounts of them freeing their slaves. So perhaps for that time, that's what being progressive is.
Yeah.
Freeing your slaves occasionally.
Look, sometimes.
Like if you haven't got enough food.
Yeah, I think it was sensible of Judith Jesch again to say that you can't begin to judge someone in 800 or 900 AD with our ideas of progressiveness.
Yeah. Some of the further questions were on things like Viking food. What did they eat?
Can I jump into that?
Yeah,
Viking food.
Yeah. You got some Viking recipes for us, Mark? Let's go.
I do. Like, lots of fish.
No way.
Lots of dairy.
Mm-hmm.
And lots of meat.
Meat, yeah.
Including horse meat. And we hear that horse meat is still eaten today in modern Iceland. That should be no surprise given the UK horse meat scandal of 2013, in which I think the food retailer Iceland was heavily involved. So, Steve, there was another question that came up from a listener, and it's pretty predictable that we had a question from a disgruntled Scot.
And Sturgeon, Edinburgh?
Feeling that Scotland had been ignored in some magazine article about the Vikings?
Yeah.
The Scottish are particularly touchy about this sort of thing. Their question was, what about the Scots when it comes to the Vikings?
Yeah, we need more mention of Scottish people. And Judith Jesch answers this pretty comprehensively by talking about the Western Isles, Outer Hebrides, being ruled by Scandinavians for a long time. And up until mid-15th century, Orkney and Shetland were under Scandinavian rule.
I thought that was fascinating. Really, really interesting.
I was aware of them having a feeling of being sort of partly descendants of the Vikings. Icelanders do as well.
Yeah.
You know, they enjoy the mythology of it and the association with Viking-type activities. Currently represented popular TV shows like the Vikings TV show.
Judith Jesch does mention it.
Yeah.
And doesn't mention it terribly positively, so I don't think she's too enamoured by it.
Yeah, I'm sure it's a lot of historical inaccuracies in it, and if you really want to get the definitive history of Viking culture, you're probably going to be better with the Marvel movies, aren't you? I mean, Thor, Ragnarok, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're looking for facts.
Hi, my name's Thor. I'm 22 years old. Live on Asgard and I like sugar.
Another point of interest, I thought, was Viking language. Probably shouldn't call them Viking, but the Scandinavian people's language influences
Norse?
In, yeah. Old Norse, roots of words from Old Norse in English. Some of these were, I've written down here, e.g. egg.
Yeah, good one.
Egg apparently is an Old Norse word. Legs and window, Old Norse words.
Yeah,
and
I heard that.
The days of our week, Thursday, after.
Thursday?
Thor. Yes, the god of thunder. Wednesday, after.
Windows?
yes, after Odin or Woden, as he was sometimes called. Woden's Day. Frigg, I think, is the god of marriage, possibly. Cool. Friday, nice. Tyr,
yeah.
Tuesday, this sort of thing.
It's actually really interesting, isn't it? The melding of the Old Norse and the Old English language and the Celtic languages to come up with eventually modern day language and what sticks and what doesn't. It's very interesting.
Yeah, it is. Was there any other bits that she mentioned about Viking culture and that you hadn't known before or that were particularly interesting to you?
I was interested when they started talking about the Vikings coming to North America and why they didn't settle there. She explained that there were too few people really to settle. They were too far away from Scandinavia by this point.
Yeah.
There were small communities in Greenland that were going to Newfoundland and they didn't really have enough people to settle there. So they went to Newfoundland, picked up
trees
and took them home because there was no trees in Greenland.
Yeah.
Amazing that these people in Greenland considered themselves Viking by culture and they were living in this outpost so far from home.
Yeah, particularly that travel obviously wasn't exactly easy. They weren't just going to nip home, you know, get their mum to put a wash on for them. that wasn't going to happen. So yeah, that was interesting. Another thing, you mentioned it briefly earlier, Vikings in Baghdad. I didn't know that happened.
No, I had no idea.
I don't think much is known about it. But it's interesting, though. I didn't know they'd gone that way. They'd gone... Oh, that seems very much over land, really, doesn't it? But the other thing that stuck out for me, which I had kind of forgotten about a little bit, was the Viking people settled in England, and there was this thing that they kind of gloss over called the Danelaw.
Yes, Danelaw.
An area of England that was ruled by the Danes. England had a Danish king.
Yeah.
King Canute. Right, I've written it down, obviously, as I said, can't remember anything. 1035. Yeah, he died in 1035, so he was king for a while. His son was king for a while, and then they just seemed to sort of clear out, and then eventually the Norman invasion.
Yeah.
But yeah, actually, that brings me on to your favourite part of the show, Mark.
Oh,
because I know you like a quiz. You like a quiz, don't you? Yeah. So this week, Mark, I have for you a choice of quizzes. No, we can be...
Okay.
We can stick with... Vaguely, but they're both historical. They're both vaguely historical. Okay, so one that's quite currently topical about a big pandemic.
What pandemic?
Well, it's a terrible, terrible pandemic. One of the most awful things to have ever happened. So, what do you think it is?
Coronavirus?
No, the Black Death. Actual serious pandemic called the Black Death. So you can do have a quiz about that. Or you can have a quiz about medieval dates that you should know.
Oh, crap. I'll go for number two, medieval dates I should know.
Medieval dates you should know. Right, okay. So the way I'm going to do this, I've got 10 written down. I am going to let you either tell me a significant date and what happened, or I can tell you what happened and you can tell me the date.
Well, I've got no chance. We're not doing 10 of these, by the way.
We're not, no.
No, but we're not. Pick out two or three.
How many can you get? One you have to be able to get. I've given you a big clue just there.
What?
About the Norman invasion.
1066.
Well, what happened then, Mark?
Did the Normans invade?
They did. 1066, Battle of Hastings. Do you know what happened just before that? Battle of Stamford Bridge?
Oh.
Chelsea versus... No, it wasn't. Harald Hardrada invaded, and he was a descendant of King Canute.
Okay.
It's all linked up,
okay.
King Canute. Any other significant events that happened in medieval times, bearing in mind that this runs from the 5th century to the 15th century, up to the Renaissance. So it's a big window. Can you think of anything that happened in those 10 centuries?
I see these as the kind of middle stroke dark ages, Steve. Not a lot happened, really.
Not a lot happened.
No.
Nothing worth writing down. Nothing?
What about The Magna Carta.
Oh, well done. That is there. Magna Carta signed at, where was it signed? The bottom. No.
Oh, I don't know. Canterbury?
Runnymede.
Okay, we didn't know that.
Banks of the Thames. Are they near Windsor?
Okay, very good.
The reason I know that is because I went to Legoland once, years ago, and while we were staying...
They featured that heavily in Legoland?
No, we were staying in Windsor, which is where Legoland is, and I went for a run, and saw this big monument, ran up to it, really as an excuse to stop, just pretend to read the stuff about the monument, and it was a monument to the Magna Carta. That was where it was signed. So that was in... just what year was that, Mark?
Let's say 1500.
Oh, 1215. Remember, it's King John.
I know. It's awful. It's awful. Yeah,
okay. One more I'll give you. A big Scottish one. Big Scottish one. Come on. A big Scottish battle. The Battle of...
Culloden? Flodden?
Yeah, well, I was thinking more of the Battle of Bannockburn.
Okay,
A win for the Scottish. Let's think of a win for the Scottish.
Okay,
a big
Bannockburn,
win.
Okay.
Bannockburn. Who are the protagonists? One of them.
Is that Robert the Bruce?
It was. Well done. Robert the Bruce. 1314.
Thank God. Okay. Thanks for giving me the date.
Yeah. 1314, Battle of Bannockburn, just outside Stirling. 7 to go. Should we keep going?
No, we shouldn't. Let's call it a score draw, Steve. Well,
are you sure you wouldn't like to do the Black Death?
Give me a couple.
Okay. Well, there's only 5 here, and it's multiple choice.
Just give me a couple.
Well, we'll give you a couple. See how you're getting on. Okay. Symptoms of the Black Death or bubonic plague. Tell me which one of these is a genuine symptom. Swelling in the groin or armpits, nosebleeds, difficulty with urination, spotty rash.
I go the rash.
Swelling in the groin and armpits. The lumps, no. Okay, oh, this is relevant. Where was the first quarantine? Was it in Venice, Paris, Dubrovnik or Berlin?
I'll go Venice. I'm saying they might have been able to... control Venice easier than those larger cities.
Oh, it's Dubrovnik, Mark. Sorry. Okay. Last one. How many died, roughly, during the Black Death?
Black Death?
Yeah.
What year was Black Death?
It was 1347-48.
500,000.
It's unbelievable. 50 million is the estimate.
What?
50 million, right? And the world population at that time was 370 million.
Holy moly,
that's a lot. A pandemic. Spanish flu, how many do you think died in that?
10 million.
But the range is from 17.5 million to up to 50 million again, with a world population of 1.8 billion at that time. Any other pandemics you can think of, that numbers?
Just move on.
No, just as a comparison.
Just move on.
As a comparison. No, current one, 300,000. World population 7.8 billion.
No, we're not, but this isn't going on. It's the end of the world as we know it,
and I feel fine. Before we sum up, I feel I need to mention some Viking facts that didn't come up in the podcast, but my researcher.
Your researcher?
Yeah, I've got staff now, Mark.
Yeah.
Do you not have any?
No.
No, well, I've got staff, yeah, working for me. Kerry is her name. So
she'd be a hard worker, I'd imagine.
Oh, yeah, she's back at the office beavering away right now. But yeah, so she found out some Viking facts that apparently Professor Judith Jesch, Professor of Viking Studies...
wasn't aware of.
Didn't know.
Has she triple and double, quadruple checked these?
All verified.
Yeah, okay. All verified.
Actually, they have been checked. This is a good one. This is interesting. It's something that we all use all of the time, which has got a direct Viking link. Bluetooth. The Vikings didn't have Bluetooth, obviously, because they didn't have devices.
Okay.
But the name Bluetooth is named after a Viking king called, in English, called Harald Bluetooth. And it was so named because the guy who invented the way for mobile devices to communicate with computers was reading a book called The Long Ships about Vikings.
Yeah.
And this king was mentioned in it. So he called it Bluetooth because of that.
That's cool.
And the symbol for Bluetooth is the Old Norse letters for his initials.
Yeah, that's cool.
Harald Bluetooth.
That's good.
H and B
that's
in good. Old Norse. So there you go. So, right. What did you think of the podcast, Mark?
Oh, hold on. Have you, is there no more?
Oh, do you want more?
Yeah, yeah.
I've got more. Yeah. I mean, as I say, she's been very busy.
I thought that was rank average. Give us another one.
That's a good one.
Give us a... Okay.
Right. Use of onion soup for medicinal reasons. Viking warrior has been injured in battle. Some sort of pretty nasty looking abdominal injury.
Yeah. Sliced in two.
Yeah, maybe almost in two.
Yeah.
But is he seriously injured or not? How bad is it?
Yeah.
You know, could he walk it off? Just a flesh wound, possibly. So make him a strong onion soup. Get him to eat that. And then have a sniff around his abdominal regions. If there's really strong onion smell, it's leaking out somewhere.
He's gone.
Got a big hole in him. Right, forget about him. He's done.
Why did you not start with that one?
Well, that's, I mean, that's...
That's more like it.
That's more? Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Well, I'll get her to come up with more stuff like that. Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll leave it there. We'll leave it there. That's plenty of work from the researcher. So, yeah. In summary, Mark.
Okay. Do you want me to summarize first?
Yeah, you go first.
Okay. To summarize, Steve, I enjoyed the show. It's quite dry, but it still kept my attention. This is definitely not for everyone. But if you're interested in history generally, it's a good listen. The episodes are usually less than 1 hour, so you're not getting a deep dive into the subject, but quite a nice overview. For me, it's 6 out of 10, and I may well listen again.
All right. I would say I like the topic. It's interesting. I'm interested in history. It's well produced. I think they tackled the subject pretty well with the various questions. It was informative. Probably wasn't that entertaining, but, you know, it's a history podcast. I would say... It's a good one to maybe scroll through, and if you see a topic that you're interested in, have a listen to it. I give it a 5 out of 10, and I would listen again, but I would sort of scroll through and see if I find a topic that I liked.
Okay, Steve, it's time to roll again for next week's podcast. You've got the D20 to roll for the 10s. I've got the D10 to roll for the 1s. Off you go.
Just a quick question. Are we same chart?
Yeah, still the same chart, the UK top 200 Apple chart.
All right, okay. Here we go. 17, 170.
Here we go.
3.
173.
Okay.
Steve, can you fill for a bit?
Yeah, no problem. So 173.
Just be a second, hold on. Right.
What's near the bottom end, so... Oh, will
got
it. It's a drop
got
off
it.
Quality.
Got it.
Oh, sorry. Right.
Number 173 is the Football Ramble Daily. That's by Stakhanov.
Daily football show. Bundesliga starting again soon.
This is good. I'm happy with this one. Well, anyway, Steve, do you want to tell everyone how they can contact us?
Yes, you can click on our link to our website. www.whatpodcastshouldilistentonext.com, or you can contact us on Twitter at podcastshould. Please do send us some messages, send us some suggestions, bit of feedback. Some that we've had already has been really useful, so thanks a lot, guys.
Cheers, Steve.
Cheers, Mark.